It is the Pens Universe Podcast 2013. Long time, no talk, listen, whatever you might be doing. We appreciate you coming back, though, after the wonderful thing that was the NHL lockout. Notice the sarcasm. I am joined today by Damian and Corey, and Nicole has finally been able to join us, so welcome, everybody. How's everybody been hanging in there with the lockout? Nicole, did you survive with no hockey?
I attempted to. Went through a few Nailers games that sort of subsided the hockey journey. Caught some RMU games, but I'm looking forward to watching the Pens and the Flyers and getting back into the heated rivalry.
Yeah, and Damon, you were suffering through the Sun season in place of hockey, I see.
What a mistake, and buying that NBA package, man. Wow. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously they've competed the last few years, but this year, this is not a Suns podcast. I don't even know what I talk about. I'm just happy hockey's back. Yeah. I got the nice, you know, rolling into the good weather here, except for today, and I can't be happier to have a team that is actually going to contend for a title. So.
Yeah, and Corey, you're just busy changing your name to things I can't pronounce on Twitter. I don't know what else you're doing.
Just call me the Knuckle, that's all. we're going to make it weird here on Pens U Podcast.
I'm really good at that, just so you know. But all right, so we don't need to really go over what, you know, happened and where we stand. Obviously, we had the inter-squad scrimmage last night, intra-squad scrimmage last night. And, you know, but we are coming off the heels of a lockout. So, you know, just to get everybody where we stand, I'm going to pose the question, you know, are you blaming anybody still? Or are you still angry? What are your feelings for the whole layoff as we saw it? Corey, I'll start with you. How you feeling? Are you over it?
I hate saying it, but yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. I am someone who, I don't know, I feel like at the time, I feel like I was with a lot of people out there that might be listening to this later on. The fact that, you know, you're holding grudges, whether it's Bettman, whether it's the owners, certain owners, you know, Donnie Fair, you know, I feel like that it's one of those things where it's, you want to yell at somebody and all you want is what you want. And now that, you know, we got hockey back, I don't know. For me as a fan, I probably should care, and I probably should still have some hatred, but it's totally gone away, and I'm looking forward to Saturday night. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Damian, where do you stand?
I'm a little bit with Corey on that. I try not to. I mean, there was a lot of people putting a lot of emotions, and I know Twitter or the internet in general has the capacity to just be endless hyperbole in people. But at the same time, you know, like I don't want to say I was too hit personally on it. Like it's bad. It's certainly not good for the players and really the people who are making money off of it. For the enjoyment is a whole other thing for us. I felt bad for all the people else involved ultimately, but for me, you know, like, I've kind of been through it a couple times, and it's like, it's going to come back at some point. It's just a matter of time, and does it suck without the sport? Yes, it does, but I'm not going to get wrapped up too much into it. Some people were taking it to other levels. Some people, it's their job to talk about it, so they should. But for me, it was kind of like, all right, just let me kind of know when it starts back up, and that's how I sort of approached the whole thing.
All right, Nicole, what do you say?
I'm pretty much did the same thing that Damian said. I sort of stayed in the background, followed it on Twitter. There's a few times where I had to, like, sort of say stuff because you have to, like, wonder where people got their information and, as you know, the whole players versus league thing. And me personally, I didn't want to take sides, but I felt as though as a fan I would take the players' side more because those are the guys we want to watch. We don't want to watch the owners unless, well, in our case, 66, I wouldn't mind watching him again. But I just felt it was a game, essentially, to the league, or Bettman and Don Fair for a while there was like, you know, one day you hear, oh, we're making good progress, and the next day it's like, well, Gary Bettman stormed out, and then Don Fair, you know, cried in a corner somewhere. It's just like, it was a bunch of crap, essentially. But I'm looking forward to Saturday again. I'm ready to see, you know, Cookie throw a couple checks and Brandon Sutter get on the board and Sid and Gino back in the full beast mode.
Right. Well, you know, I guess I will chime in here. You know, I decided that, you know, I really like doing this podcast so much that even if I'm still a little bit bitter, that I enjoy the banter and I want to talk. And obviously, I still pay attention to the game and what's going on to a point. You know, I really think that when everyone was able to negotiate in January magically for 16 hours, it made me scratch my head. Like, why did it take so long? And they would just simply hear things like, well, there's no scheduled talks. Well, if you could do that in January, why couldn't you do that in October? And obviously, there's reasons out there for that. But to me, they owed that answer to the people that whose livelihoods depended on hockey. I have made a pact with myself this year that I will not go to a hockey game unless somebody gives me free tickets. And I'm going to keep that. And because that's just kind of how I feel about it. I mean, Damien, like you said, we've been through a few of them. And I'm sure in 8 years, whenever both the league and the players can opt out, we'll go through another one, because that's just kind of the way that this operates. I mean, if you think about Donald Fair, he pretty much killed baseball in Pittsburgh with the way he structured the revenue sharing and what have you. And then, you know, everyone kind of has their opinion of Gary Bettman, and not too many people think very highly of him. As far as the owners and the players, I think there was probably a handful amongst them that had something to do with keeping it as long as it went, but not a lot, you know. So, you know, like I said, I've made a pact with myself. I still like you guys. That's what counts in this situation here.
Hey, so, thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
Thanks, Doug. You're
exactly,
the best.
Exactly. But nevertheless, it's where I stand. I got it off my chest, and I'll shut up now. I promise to those of you that follow me on Twitter, if there are any of you out there listening, I'll quit with the dumb tweets about the lockout now. I'm done. All right? So, moving on. Well, I'm going to let Corey take over for the next segment here, because he did a post today about how the roster's shaping up. And so, Corey, if you could just, you know, kind of recap your post about where we stand with the roster, and then we'll go into some further discussion about what it's going to look like.
Well, now we're down to 23, right?
Yeah.
You know, after the scrimmage, the, what was it, black-gold, black-white game?
Yeah.
You know, they... you had your expected, your group of would-be Wilkes-Barre guys that went back down, which was expected, but there were some names that maybe stuck around that weren't sent back down through the waiver line, or I guess I should say, let me reiterate, they're still sitting on the waiver line, but that were sent down from Pittsburgh. That maybe are surprising, and there are some names that maybe weren't as surprising. But for me, the biggest name that did get sent down was Bo Bennett. He had just I did not see the game. I did not listen to the game. But from all accounts that I saw, Bo Bennett made his presence, if it wasn't already known, even more known in Pittsburgh with that game, putting his name on the map, and got sent down to Wilkes-Barre, made the waiver line, and to me, it's kind of shocking, to be honest. I mean, this was a guy that I have a cousin that went to Denver, told me all about him, and you know, I've kind of been following up through the ranks here as he's been as he got drafted, and then been working his time up through the system, and just to kind of hear the reaction and some of the description of how he played that night, it's surprising, because it was one of those things where it was with that second line wing spot opened up, you knew it was going to be either Tane Grady, who had just by being the elder statesman, putting himself there in that position, and then someone who was young, up and coming, and had the opportunity to somebody who, you know, had been coming up the ranks and had, in my eyes, proven himself as worthy for a roster spot on the Penguin roster. And, you know, I mean, Shiro sees something in Tangredi that maybe Penguin fans for the past, you know, 3-4 years here haven't necessarily seen. But Bennett goes down, Tangredi gets... I mean, for all intents and purposes, he still gets that spot on the roster. I think it was, I saw something online that the final roster, they moved the time, I think, from Friday at noon to Friday at like 5 PM or something. Mm-hmm. But for all intents and purposes, I don't see anybody that's left on that 23-man roster that's a forward that's going to jump Tangredi. It's his spot, and that's just me. I think Bennett got screwed.
You know, there's some irony in the statement of saying Tangredi is the elder statesman, considering how much work he's actually had in the NHL. But you know, you are correct in that.
Yeah, it's like 40 games, 40 some games. And yeah. How many points?
Not enough.
I think it's like we're in the teens still. I think.
Yeah.
No, I don't even think that many points. Someone put 5 points up on the website.
Yeah, on Corey's post today, somebody anonymously posted two fairly agitated responses regarding Eric Tangredi. So I would suggest go read those, and Corey probably approves of them as well. But
look, I'm not gonna say all right. I'm not gonna say that I'm totally in Bo's corner, and that I'm also not totally in Tangredi's corner. But I mean, Tangredi has had his chances. I mean, right. We have had podcasts in the past where we've been talking about, like, why isn't Shiro trading him?
Right.
Why isn't, you know, it's not like this is something that just kind of came out of thin air. I mean, he's had his moments, I feel like, in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it just hasn't gelled or he just hasn't performed, whatever it is, he's still hanging around. It's either Shiro or somebody among the Shiro circle that's making decisions. Still see something in Eric, and that's why he's sticking around. And I feel bad for Bo, because, you know, it's one of those things where you see a night like he had that night in the scrimmage, and, you know, it's one night, but when you see the progression that he's been making since college, since drafted, and you know, he's got the potential. You know, you could say the same thing about Tangredi 3-4 years ago, but this is a different potential, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like they're beating a dead horse here with Tangredi.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to argue any of those points. As a side note, we like to tweet each other during the podcast, so it's always fun times going on there.
Yeah, I apologize for the...
it's all right.
Like, train of thought here, but Damien's like... tweet bombing me here.
Well, we actually debated doing this podcast recording on Google Hangout, which, as most of you may know, that includes video, so I can only imagine how unproductive that would be. Nevertheless, Nicole,
I'm throwing chairs around my room right now.
Yeah, Nicole, I'll let you chime in here. Are you surprised at where the roster stands? Do you have any thoughts on Tangredi? General roster observations, Nicole, the floor is yours.
I'm going to have to agree with Corey. I was a bit disappointed to see that Bo Bennett got sent down. But I believe it was Damien that commented on the post saying that Tangredi, you know, this is his chance. Granted, he's been in the league or up for how many games, but I think in his defense, he was on fourth line. I don't think he's going to get or had the consistent time that, according to Dan Bousma, he's going to have with Malkin and Naylor. So, but yeah, I was a bit surprised about Bowman, and I was also a bit surprised about Brian Strait, because I think that's was risky putting him on the waiver lines. If they thought that Brian Strait was going to draw such attention, like Shiro had mentioned that he heard a few teams like Strait, but they didn't say if they were going to pick him up or not. why not deal him in a trade if that was the case? But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Tangrady can do. And if he can't do anything, then I'm done with him. But I mean, Bo Bennett's going to get his time, and I hope it's on Crosby's line, too. I would really like to see the Kunitz, Neil Malkin line back, because they were excellent last season, and I was kind of disappointed when I saw that they were going to be switching them up, even though Dupuy or Kunitz are both good. Well, I mean, anyone's good with Crosby. He makes the people around him seem like A-plus players, but that was my shock today, was Bo Bennett for sure.
All right, Damian, floor is yours, and if you want to transition to any line that you're looking forward to seeing playing together, please feel free.
All right, well, I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe Tangrady has naked pictures to share or something. So maybe that's why he's up there. We don't know the answer.
Whammy.
Is it also possible to assume that maybe he's only up there in the interim so that Bo Bennett can play in the All-Star game down there? I mean, has anybody ever speculated on that? I don't know. Maybe that's just me thinking crazy. But it's possible that could be the situation. Or they could maybe they just made up in their minds, you know, Shero and Bilesman just said, all right, listen, he's got one shot. Let's give him a couple games up here on a line, you know, with what we think this guy's potential was going to be. And he certainly hasn't lived up to it at this point. But let's put him on where he's going to have, you know, he's going to have, like I said in my comments on this, he's going to have his space, because if there's two guys you just don't leave alone, it's the other guys on the line with him. So he should have plenty of, you know, movement around to be able to just, you know, have his way, not have anybody in front of him, because you're certainly not going to leave Malkin or Neil alone. So he's going to have his time and space, and if he can't produce on the line that they anticipated he was going to be on a few years back, then he is going to be just sent back down to Wilkes-Barre and probably either continue a long-term career in the AHL or, you know, maybe a trade option. But, you know, we talk about him possibly being younger, but he's 2 years younger than Sid. What was Sid doing at 23? You know, I mean, it's kind of like, and obviously that's not a really good comparison, but how about
making
Brandon?
Tim Horton commercials, man.
Stanley Cup.
So, all right, Brandon Sutter. He's 23, the same age. He's actually 4 days younger than Eric Tangrady. So we have, you know, we have, at some point, you're going to be NHL ready. And it's hard to say for some of the guys. Like, yeah, like Ben Lovejoy really didn't really get a shot until he was 25 or so. And even he has not really been the most exciting defenseman on, you know, on all of our lists. But so, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't want to defend the guy, you know. But at the same time, I think the way the team is approaching it is probably giving him his real, true NHL time, a few games. Here's the thing. Even if he's not playing well and then Malkin goes off and has, like, three hat tricks in a row, what do you do with him? Mm-hmm. You got to keep him there, you know, because he's doing something right, even if he's doing something wrong. So, yeah, he's on the line. So, you know, he may end up being successful by default just because he's on the line with a couple of guys like that. Or he could just be, you know, dead weight and, you know, make it a lot easier for defenses to look at him and say, okay, you don't even have to, like, essentially worry about this guy. Don't cover him. Don't do anything. So, but, you know, I think it'll be interesting. You know, again, we come back to Sid and him, you know, and let me talk a little bit about Bo Bennett. I don't know much about Bo Bennett. I didn't see the black and gold game, so I can't really comment on it. From what I hear, everybody has high opinion of him, and he even scored a goal in that game. And I think that he is that winger we're looking for on the top two lines that could, you know, potentially be the draft version of, you know, like a Pascal Dupuy with a better shot or with a better, you know, something like that. So, we got a guy who's quick. Is he NHL ready body-wise? I see that he's like 170 pounds. That's kind of thin for the sport. It's possible, but he could get banged around a lot because especially if he's going to sit on Sid's line primarily because he's going to get, you know, Sid gets banged like crazy. So But, you know, I don't know. It'll be, I guess, you know, it's not, I'm actually looking forward to seeing Brandon Sutter the most because I got the chance to see him down here a lot. And which should be interesting. And here's I want to throw this in there too, guys. One of the, we have another writer that's going to come on. I don't know how consistent he's going to be, but he's actually was in my deck hockey league this year. His name is Corey. Interestingly enough.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah, it's a good name. And he used to write for a Canes blog down here, but he's a Penguins fan. He just wanted to write about hockey, so he started a Canes blog with his buddies. But he asked if he could, you know, when I put that out there that he's going to be, they were looking for writers, he said he wanted to be a part of that. So he's actually going to write a piece tomorrow all on Brandon Sutter and, you know, his progression and what else he could probably bring to the team. So look out for that tomorrow.
Nice. Well, you know, I'll float this out there, but the cap hit for Tangrady is actually $150,000 less at the NHL level than Bo Bennett's would be. So there might be a slight wiggle room in there for some kind of trade or just, you know, kind of getting yourself prepared. Obviously, if you're going to trade, you're going to be trading pretty early and pretty quickly here in this season. It's hard to say. I think the weight of Bennett is a concern, but they say that he's, despite his size of 160 pounds, he's one of the stronger people in the organization. So who knows? I guess maybe size could be deceiving, but, you know, I guess it's hard to say. But obviously there was a lot of people that were surprised by that. I mean, Bennett had a good game last night, but so did Tyler Kennedy. And can you count on Tyler Kennedy for the entire season? I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can count on him to shoot.
Yeah. Hey, I will say this. He hit the net last night, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. Tanger did his usual, missed the net 17 times, and then hit one absolutely amazing shot in the perfect place. So we'll take that, I guess. But switching over, we've talked a little bit about forwards. Switching over to defense, it looks like we're going to have Orpik, Martin, Letang. Obviously not pairing with Orpik this year, so Martin's going to be on the shutdown corner or pairing, I guess. And then, you know, there's a kind of a Niskanen, Englund, Lovejoy, Bortuzzo et al. What are we thinking about the blue line at this point in time? And are you scared? Do you think that's going to be dependable, especially with Orpik and Martin as the shutdown pairing, Damien?
Very. Actually, I think that's probably going to be our biggest weakness this year. I mean, we know what Paul Martin is incapable of, and to put him on a shutdown version, and maybe he worked out. I don't know. Maybe he changed his game. You know, not likely, but obviously that guy's the butt of everybody's joke when it comes to our defense. For $5 million, that is a huge waste of money so far. So, but then, you know, you're excited to see what Chris Letang's going to do because he seems to only keep getting better, and he is a massive offensive threat as well. I don't know what we're going to get out of Dupree. I think, it was kind of a toss-up with him and Strait, and, we put Strait on waivers, I guess. I don't know what the rationale behind that was either, but these guys know a lot better than I do. I'm actually looking forward to Matt Niskanen. I think he's going to have a good season too. But, again, we don't have that shutdown. And maybe Derek Englund can step into a role. I mean, he really – when he first came up for those playoffs a couple of years back and just surprised – crap at all of us. We're like, this guy's going to be here next year. Kind of looking for him to do the same thing this year. Step up, take a little more leadership. Really, I mean, he is 30 years old, so he's had his experience. It's time for him to kind of, really step up more of a leadership role as well. So, but that, I think that there's a lot of question marks in the defense.
Nicole, what's your thoughts on the blue line?
I'm a little concerned. I'd like to see Paul Martin do better this season. I'm sure everyone does, but I mean, there's, you know, you always see the chat on Twitter about how, you know, Paul Martin's this, Paul Martin's that, why can't we get rid of him, blah blah blah. But I think maybe for his sake the lockout was good, that he hopefully worked hard getting back to where he needed to be. I mean, obviously we're not the Devils, we don't play the boring hockey, so he needs to, you know, get back into Dan Bylsma's system a little better, or hopefully Orpik will help him out. I think maybe being with Orp and their, you know, their style is, well, I wouldn't say essentially the same, but close to it. And, you know, maybe he will give Martin the boost that he needs. And then, but I was happy to see Niskanen and Engo together, because they, last year with, you know, Dan Bousman, when he switches things like crazy. And not to mention the injuries as well. So I'm hoping to see the defense redeem themselves, because they totally left Flower out in the dust during the playoffs. And so crossing our fingers for that.
Yeah. So, Corey, I know that this is a big area of concern for you, so let me have it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's... Well, I mean, everybody saw the blue line last year, especially in the playoffs, and just how awful they were. Especially in the, you know, it's special teams, yeah, but I mean, when you look back at those power play goals that the Flyers scored in the playoffs last year, it's hard not to pick out Paul Martin. It's hard not to pick out a lot of those guys, Letang even, that really just were on a different planet. On the blue line last year, and I don't know if they've had a coming to Jesus, really, you know, in this off season and this extended lockout, but you know, again, I don't, you know, it's one of those things where Bylsma, in a shortened week, shortened training camp, sees something in people that, you know, the people's court of social media and, you know, just the world here maybe doesn't see. And you have a guy like Brian Strait who comes in for Paul Martin when he gets injured last year in the playoffs. And, you know, I guess you can't really call it a first cut, but maybe the only cut, and, you know, gets sent down. And you see a guy like, you know, not to pick on him, but Bortuzzo, who sticks around, and it just makes you scratch your head. I mean, unless there is just something that he mouthed off at or something that he did, I can't wrap my head around why you keep Bortuzzo, but you send Strait down hoping he clears waivers. He's got to clear before he makes Wilkes-Barre. I mean, you still got till tomorrow before noon. So, and, you know, all the Wilkes-Barre guys, unless they got, you know, specific contracts, I don't have that in front of me, but it's a head scratcher. And, you know, just going off of, you know, not even that move, but just the blue line in general, you got to show me something after the way last year ended. I do like the idea of Simone sticking around there. I see him as an up-and-coming Letang of maybe a few years ago. But you got to show me something, because, you know, I think Flower, you really saw what maybe happens when he is exposed to multiple games, multiple shots. You know, with what happened with Johnson last year, and, you know, you got Okun coming in, but you still need a blue line to, you know, help deflect some of those shots and help protect your goalie. I don't know. It is a concern, and I need to see a couple of weeks of, you know, what the pairings are, how they defend, how they work with each other, before maybe making a more specific judgment on it. But it is and should be a concern for all Penguins fans going into Saturday and the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah. Nicole, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Dupre has actually been sitting the bench at Wilkes-Barre. And so him just automatically being thrown in with Letang actually kind of surprised me. It's like the coaching staff just were sitting him out, like knew something they didn't know, like it wasn't productive for him to be playing in the AHL anymore. I don't know. You know, so somehow now he's in the top two pairings. I will say that I do not believe that the pairings we get to start the season on Saturday are the pairings that we have at the end of the year. I think there will be a trade of some sort. I mean, if you think about the full Penguins membership at the blue line, aside from the guys that are in the NHL, you got Derek Pouliot, who has, obviously he's not going to be in the NHL, but he has 38 points in 38 games for the Portland Winterhawks this year. Ollie Matta, Philip Samuelson, Dumoulin, Scott Harrington, Joe Morrow. I mean, you got enough people in the blue line, even Dylan Reese, who obviously has NHL experience, who can fill in and are potential trade pieces as well. And so I think that's something you will see Ray Shiro try to do. I think it's clear that he's not sure about Derek Englund and Ben Lovejoy, and hasn't been. So I guess we'll see where that goes. Obviously, it's a concern, but I think the bigger concern when it comes to defense is the goalies, because I feel like the goalies are the ones that are missing out the most with the lockout, not seeing shots like they would normally see. But that's my two cents. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to go into some rapid-fire questions here based on, you know, some of the things that have been talked about in Twitter and where we stand right now. So this first one, just from the scrimmage last night, Nicole, I'll ask you, what non-NHL player impressed you the most last night?
I'm going to have to say Adam Perreault. We got a chance to see him in Wheeling over the weekend, which was, I thought, was pretty neat to see the guy play in Wheeling. He just got back from injury. I thought he was complete maniac on the ice. He's throwing the body around, you know, setting up pretty sick goals, scoring a few sick goals on his own. So I was pretty happy to see him out on the ice. I thought he, at times, he was a little invisible, but he made his self known. I didn't get to see the entire scrimmage. I teach on Wednesday night, so I didn't get home till like 9:30. So by the time I got to watch it, Sam, she was like, "Well, all the exciting stuff is over," and she told me that I missed two cook goals, and I'm like, "Dang it!" So, but as much as I got to see, I thought he was the most impressive non-NHL guy.
Big dude too. Damien, how many games do you think Thomas Bocoon plays this year?
I'm going to give him about 18.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be, you know, spread out pretty well for Fleury. But I think you're going to see him, obviously Fleury will have his stretches, and if he's hot, you won't see it, but he's going to have a little break here and there. The condensed schedule is certainly going to, you want him to have his time and experience, but you also want him to have his rest, because it's going to be a hellish few months.
Corey, outside of Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, and James Neal, who scores the most goals for the Pens this year?
On the power play, Letang.
Okay, there you go.
I think even though it seemed like through practice and the scrimmage that they're setting up Neal to be the go-to guy in the power play, I still feel like maybe that's one of those things where the defense recognizes it and leaves Letang open at the point.
Good segue, Corey. Damien, the word is that Neal is kind of a rover on the power play. What do you think about that?
That should be interesting because I don't know. I mean, you know what? The power play has been as ugly as it's ever been over the years, and you're happy to get it. I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, that's, you know, you're gonna kind of, he's not going to command the attention that the other two are going to have, Malkin and Crosby, and that could certainly throw a little confusion into the matter for who to guard or guard. You know, I'm thinking basketball terms, who to keep your focus on, and I think that could cause some confusion. Because the stay-at-home guys like Malkin and Crosby are deadly from the from the short walls, so it should be that should be a little interesting to see how it works.
Yeah, for sure. And Nicole, you mentioned a couple times going to Wheeling. What's the atmosphere like at a Wheeling Nailers game?
It's awesome, and you know, a lot of people are like, "I don't want to go down there and see those guys," but they play some physical hockey in the ECHL. They have a few roles that are like, what the heck, but they really play hockey down there. It's not like little pansy. there's no prima donnas in the E. You have your typical, I know there's a few, the Nailers, their rivals like Cincinnati and, right, well, this season, the Reading Royals, which they played back to back this past weekend. I mean, they really go at each other down there, and it's cheap and good hockey. So if you good. Can go there, go.
All right, and this one's, we'll give everyone a chance to answer this one. Who is the fourth line on Saturday night, Damien?
Why do I have to go first? Craig Adams. I'm going to go with Craig Adams, Dustin Jeffrey, and Tanner Glass.
Corey, what do you think?
Yeah.
That's it? That's the one?
Yeah, I maybe Vitaly, but it's either Vitaly or Glass, but I have a hard time feeling that Glass gets left out after, you know, what Shiro did to go and pick him up.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, any other thoughts, or do you agree?
I was going to say Glass, Adams, and Vitaly, because I know Joe and Adams are both the center, but that's a pretty gritty line, and the third line's going to be pretty gritty as well, so you have to, I think our bottom six, I can't think of the word to say. Yeah. Our top six and the bottom six, I think they're pretty evenly matched up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Dustin Jeffrey fanboy and have been from the beginning, but I feel like he might be left out just so that, you know, Adams gets thrown in to win draws, right? And then if he can't win the draw or if he gets thrown out, Vitaly's there for it. I think, you know, Vitaly has an edge over Jeffrey when it comes to taking a face-off. I will say Tanner Glass, not happy he's wearing number 10, but, you know, we'll go with it.
Francis.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, even though, but I'm just hoping that Dustin Jeffrey is fully recovered from his injury or whatever's been plaguing him. It's just, you know, I think that he has the ability to succeed as a third or fourth line guy in the NHL somewhere, even if it's not with the Pens. So, rapid fire's over. Now it's time for predictions. Everyone, yeah.
Oh, I don't do predictions.
Gotta throw him out there somewhere. So, Corey, since you're not too excited about this.
I predict I will make an ill-advised prediction.
Sweet. You know what?
Wait, Corey, you called the Kings last year.
Yeah, we both, you and I both had the Kings last year.
Yeah, idiot, no way.
I might have. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, you got credit for that, Corey.
I'll bow to that. Thank you.
So, Atlantic Division.
I feel a little better now. All right, let's do this thing.
Top three finishers in what order? In the Pens division, what do you got?
Top three in the Atlantic?
Yeah.
I will say Pens. I will say Pens, Flyers, Rangers.
Ooh.
Okay. I don't think that with all the firepower, when you look at that lineup on the Rangers, they will perform as what they look like on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you look at, maybe it's just the Eastern Conference, I think you can make an argument for some Western Conference teams, but if you look at the Eastern Conference and specifically the Atlantic Division, there is not one team that has more pressure on them than the Rangers with that lineup. And, you know, they've had big names in the past, and, you know, when was the last time that, you know, they saw finals? The Stanley Cup Finals.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, they feel like Nash is their ticket. They're ticking in. And, Lindquist will have to carry them, is my prediction. I feel like there's just going to be too many shooters up there as far as forwards go. And they barely beat out the Devils for that third spot.
All right. So, sticking with you, Corey, if you had to say who's in the Eastern Conference Final right now, who will it be?
Oh, you would.
Yeah, tough, huh?
Only because you're putting me on the spot.
That's what I do.
I'll say a repeat of 2009.
Alrighty.
I will say Carolina and Pittsburgh.
Nice. Damian's happy about that.
It's tough to tell what's going to happen between Eric and Jordan and how that meshes. And I, to be perfectly honest, I don't even know. Are they still, are they on the line, same line together? They can't be. They're both centers, right?
Right.
No, well, Eric's a wing.
Is he a wing?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I've seen a Penguins Carolina's game, and I don't even remember. So, well, maybe they are on the same line. I don't know.
I think they're. I hear a lot of sports radio down here, and they talk about them being on the same.
Okay.
Playing together.
All
right. I'm looking that up right now. But either way, I'm going to predict Carolina Pittsburgh, Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, I'll let you off the hook for now. We'll come back to you. So, Nicole said she doesn't do predictions, so we'll go to her. Atlantic Division. Who's your top three finishers?
I'm going to have to say Rangers, Pens, and then the Flyers.
Okay.
The Flyers, I know I follow a few of their beat writers. There was a lot of concern about their defense. And, of course, they have Drew, who's supposed to be, top notch. But hopefully that will be their weakness, just as it was ours last season. So maybe the roles will be reversed here. But I don't know. The Rangers just seems to be that team where no one's really talking about them. I mean, they got Nash, though. I'm not sure. Is he still injured? Because I know he went overseas and got injured, but I'm not sure if he's recouped from that or not. I'm not too sure about that. But and then they got Hank Lundy, so I don't want to sell the Pens short, but I don't want to put him on the pedestal and then, be crushed. So,
all right, so those are your top three in the Atlantic. What do you got for Eastern Conference Final?
I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say Pens and the Leafs.
Oh, she's appealing to the Toronto base. You got to do that.
Wait a minute. Toronto still is a team, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There is still a team.
She said she was going out on a limb. You got to give her credit.
I just want to make sure.
Give her credit for that.
I'd say it's more like going out.
Like NHL team. I know they got an AHL team.
Oh, my.
It's a fish, right?
Yeah.
Marley?
Yeah.
Marlin?
Well, hey, we give her credit for going out there. We'll come back to you for the Stanley Cup in a moment. Damien, top three Atlantic Division.
I want to say this about the Leafs. Weren't the Leafs like in first place for like 15 games last year?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think they were. They were like, wow, they're doing, they lost like 30 of them. All right. I am actually a believer of the Rangers. I think they're going to be a really good team this year. I think they're going to be dangerous. And I'm going to pick them to win the Atlantic. And then I'm going to have the Pens number two, and I'm going to actually have the New Jersey at number three. I don't know why, but they're like the San Antonio Spurs of hockey. They just can, they may not have, they may be older. They got rid of one guy that's maybe they're one of their best players, but somehow this guy, they're going to come around and just be good in this little short season. So I'm gonna go out and now I know Philadelphia. They'll probably all end up making the playoffs, and I'm not sure if four teams can make the playoffs. I'm not that averse, but I kind of think that Philadelphia might just have a little bit of a fun tank here, and wouldn't we all just smile at that either way? regarding coming out, I'm going to add a little category here for the end of it, but my surprise team will be Carolina as well. I think Carolina's going to have a heck of a year as well.
Such a homer.
Yeah, aren't I though? Well, I am down here, so I do root for them to do well because I like to go to the playoffs. But either way, I think the Pens are gonna. I think they're gonna click. I mean, they have majority of their roster, and then they got. I mean, they fill the biggest hole they had to fill was with a guy who basically just turned his, you know, into a left-hander to into a right-hander. I mean, Brandon Sutter really, if you could ask any player in the NHL to match up one-to-one to Jordan Staal, that's pretty close. So I'm pretty excited about what he's going to do, and everybody says that they had a good line last night as well. So that's going to be exciting. And I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't know who you're going to see. I think maybe you still may end up seeing the Penguins and the Bruins come out of the East.
Okay. Can't really argue with that. For my predictions, I'm going to go Devils, Rangers, Penguins. And I'm the same thing with you on the Rangers, really. I do feel like the shortened season is going to help them more than hurt them, and possibly more than any other team in the Eastern Conference. They have Adam Henrique coming back from a thumb injury that he sustained while playing overseas. He should be ready to go here very soon. You know, I think they have a solid core defenseman, Mark Fane, Andy Green. Bryce Salvador was named their new captain at the age of 36, so, you know, that's... who knows what that could come up, but Zdlicky even played pretty good at the end of the year last year, and they always have Brodeur, so, you know, it's hard to really argue against that team right now in a shortened season. I think that there's a lot riding on the Rangers season, like Corey said, but I think that even the Penguins are even under more pressure than the Rangers are. So I would say for, you know, when you're talking about the Rangers, you obviously have Lundqvist, who's been one of the best goalies forever. Nash is skating, and he actually skated on Mike Richards' lines today in their practice. So Richards and Nash could be good, although I think Nash's personality will clash horribly with Tortorella, and that could be fun to watch.
I have a hard time believing that, man, because... you look at roster changes, you bring in Brandon Suter. You look, basically, you're comparing big name signings. You got Brandon Suter versus Rick Nash, and between the two teams, and Nash in New York with Tortorella, all the other egos on that team. I think the spotlight is completely on them in the Eastern Conference right now. As much as they've left on the table with the signings, even they've made in the past couple of years, you know, they go all out with Nash. And now if they don't produce this year, what's left in New York, really?
Yeah, well, I will say that when they got rid of Dubinsky, that surprised me because I thought he was kind of the heart of their team. But at the same time, they do have Mike Rupp, they do have Aaron Asham. They do have Dan Girardi, who are guys that can be leaders for that team and potentially help with all that drama that could happen there. Even somebody like Mark Staal, I think, has really become a force in the locker room there. So you could be right, but at the same time, I just think that they have too much talent to overlook at this point in time. I mean, Marian Gaborik played a full season last year. Who would imagine? Obviously any injury or any bad start changes all of this, but that's what I'm going with now. As far as Eastern...
And Jordan Staal is on the Hurricanes depth chart, center on the second line. Okay. I'll say it. So there you go.
Nice. I guess if I had to pick Eastern Conference Final right now, I'd probably be willing to say somebody crazy and weird would match up with the Penguins, but my crazy weird pick is going to be Tampa Bay, just because I think they're going to score way too much for anybody to really pay attention to them in this shortened season. So Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Corey, we'll go back to you, and we'll look at who do you think is matching up in the Stanley Cup Finals and a prediction for the winner.
Well, I could say the Kings again, but I feel like I've already used that card. It's not going to be Vancouver. Even if they keep or they trade or whatever they're going to do with Luongo, I still feel like they have demons that are greater than who's defending between the pipes. I think right now you're having a resurgence of youth in Detroit. I think, Chicago is always a viable... threat out of the West. You saw what Phoenix, did last year. you know, what's to say that, you know, of all the young pieces in Edmonton, that this isn't their year to make a Phoenix run like last year. So that all being said, I will, I guess, go out and I'll say out of the West comes Chicago.
All right. And you got a opponent for Chicago? The Penguins?
Oh, the Penguins. Well,
yeah.
Surprisingly, Civic Arena will be re-erected. Jean-Claude Van Damme will come in and drop the ceremonial game one puck via helicopter.
Oh, nice.
Good touch. So, totally Hawks pins is what I'm calling.
And the winner? And even if you want to throw in the games, number of
points. Oh, I'm not going there. I don't want to jinx it, Doug. Come
all right, on, all right, all right. We'll let you off. We'll let you off. Nicole, Cup matchup will be?
I'm going to go with the St. Louis Blues the Pens.
That's not a bad pick.
I like it. I like it. All right, we won't hold you to picking a winner unless you really, really want to, since we didn't hold Corey to it. All right, but Damian, what do you got?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the Pens not making it to the finals, only kind of, as Nicole would say earlier, not set myself up so that I'm, you know, I mean, of course I'm going to root for them all the way through, but I'm going to go with the Rangers making it out of the East. And I'm going to say, along with Nicole, I'm going to actually, I was looking at St. Louis, and I'm going to say that they're going to be my selections, though. It's interesting she said that as well. So I'm going to go with that, and I'm going to say that the Rangers take the whole thing, and I'm not on the Rangers bandwagon, I promise you. I just think that they're a team that has, they're huge. If you've actually looked at their roster, they have three guys in the entire roster under 6 foot, and they're all 5'11".
Yeah.
So they are just stacked. I mean, they just, they're a huge team and very, very talented too. So it's going to be tough to match up to them in a lot of respects. And they got a big beefy defense, and they got and they got Lundqvist. So I mean, they have all the pieces. We'll just see if Tortorella can actually put that together in a shortened season. So that's going to be it. I think the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup.
I think Penn's Universe is adopting a second team, because I was going to go with St. Louis as well. But, you know, if I had to throw another name out there, I think even though they got, you know, the signings are new and the team hasn't played well together, I do think Minnesota will be a wild card in the West. If they get off to a hot start, I wouldn't want to get in their way. I know that much. But I'd say St. Louis, you know, I think that just their blue line alone is enough to keep them in the race the whole year, especially Kevin Shattenkirk. Just had to say the name. Sorry. Yeah.
It's a sexy name.
It is. So I'm going to go Blues over Penguins in the Stanley Cup. That's my pick.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm even making the pick. And that's just so everyone...
St. Louis.
That's just so that everyone, you know, in whatever 99 days can say, I sucked. But nevertheless, that's that's why I put that out there. So,
Doug, make sure if you put this in the post, make sure you're... if you post it, put that on there, our predictions, if you have it down.
Yeah, I
so
will.
So we can go back to it as well. I remember.
We should do a post, everybody's predictions. Just get it out there.
Yeah.
Well. For Google to cookie up.
Nice, nice.
So now there's no paper trail.
Yeah.
We'll never live that down.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, we're going to wrap it up here in a few minutes, but I just want to put this out there. Shout out to our former colleague, Ken, who asked if anybody was liking them playing the Flyers first, to which I responded, I'd rather see them play the Wild, and was called a crackhead. So I never said I wasn't, you know, but I just thought, hey, they made all the big signings, so why not play that team? But obviously we're not playing any Western Conference teams. Anybody else out there want to see them play some Western Conference teams this year, or are you okay with the whole Eastern Conference thing? Anybody? No? Okay.
I'm alone. I think it was Corey. You wrote something about that being, you know, you have to stay up till 10 o'clock. But I don't mind it. I mean,
I get tired early. I don't know.
I do too. Hey, but the
yeah, you got all the kids. Come on.
I got all. Hey, this is my time right here. They're all sleeping. This is my time. It's my new everything. It kind of reminds me of baseball, you know, so like the old baseball, well, even nowadays. So it doesn't bother me all that much. I think in a condensed season, that's the right move.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah, sure.
It should make it interesting. Let me jump in 1 second. I'm just going to cut you right off. It should make it interesting, finals series, because these teams really haven't seen each other all year. So I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Sure. Out of sheer jealousy, I wish they would have played a couple of at least, you know, the mid continent here, if you will, the Chicago's, the Detroit's, Nashville, Columbus, only because I live in Indiana and I want to see them, you know, and not drive 6 hours, maybe only drive 2 or 3 hours, so. Mm. But that's right. I'm still driving 6 hours. I got tickets to see the Canes last game of the season, so I'm good.
Nice. Well, we cannot promise 48 podcasts in 99 days, but we will do our best to, you know, bring you some levity during this rush season. We appreciate a female voice on the panel for our first time, which is nice. Thank you, Nicole, for joining us. We hope you can continue to join us in future years, future weeks here. And for now, you know, signing off. And like I said, remember, you can tell me that I suck later. It's why I put it out there. This is the Pens U Podcast. Please get a hold of us, Facebook, Twitter, you know it all. We'll talk to you soon.